Dumbbell. Slate.
Scene 2. Take 1. Marker.
And force of focus.
All right. Good afternoon, Ms. Sadler. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. So let's talk about the commercial center. Okay. So when was the commercial center built or developed?
I'm sorry.
I forgot your name. Please state your name.
My name is Paula Josephine Sadler.
Good. And what is your current role in the commercial center?
My current role in the Commercial Center, well, I wear many hats. I'm the president of Commercial Center Business Association, which I founded and started in 2005, which is also part of Commercial Center Historic Society. I manage several websites for Commercial Center that I created, and I'm also a beauty salon and spa owner there for A Harmony Nail Spa since 2004.
Ah, very cool. Why did you establish the Commercial Center Historic Society?
Well, I established it because it was needed. It really was born out of a deep need for the community to come together. And after I opened in 2004, after I opened my beauty salon, I noticed that it seemed like people were just kind of living and working with blinders on. They had tunnel vision. They were doing a wonderful job with their businesses, great foods, great entertainment, so much to offer. But the peripheral outside wasn't being cared for. And when I asked why, everyone pointed a finger and wanted somebody else to do something. Oh, the county should do something. Oh, the property owner should do something. And after reaching out to the different organizations and owners in the county, I took it upon myself to start cleaning up the area and doing the things that other people thought someone else should do.
Sorry about that, Paula. Could you restate what your current role is at the Commercial Center?
My role is, well, I wear many hats, and my role is the president of Commercial Center Business Association and Historic Society, which I founded and started in 2005.
Very good.
And also, I am a beauty salon owner of A Harmony Nail Spa and Salon.
Cool. So, when was Commercial Center built?
As far as I know, Commercial Center was opened in 1963, but I think they began with selling the land and the parcels and developing as far back as 1961, 1962.
Do you know why the Commercial Center was initially built?
Well, from my research, Las Vegas had outgrown Fremont Street.
The Commercial Center was built because Las Vegas. All right, go ahead.
The Commercial Center, as far as I know from my research, was built because we had outgrown Fremont Street, and they needed a new downtown. So there's a lovely flyer that's from 1963 that states Commercial Center, the new downtown. And it's pretty exciting. I think that they were just going with the natural evolution of the growth of Las Vegas.
So, what is the historical significance of the Commercial Center to the city of Las Vegas?
Oh, the historical significance of Commercial Center. Well, it's a huge historical significance. These are the original families of Las Vegas for the modernization of the business and commerce of Las Vegas from 1963. That's 60 years. And the movers and shakers of the day were the ones that were getting everything going.
To your knowledge, what celebrities frequented Commercial Center back in its heyday?
Probably all of them.
So the celebrities that frequented were?
The celebrities that frequented Commercial Center back in the day, probably everyone and anyone who was to be seen. From what I've been told, and also the research I've done, everyone from Frank Sinatra and the Rat Pack to Elvis Presley, Fats Domino, and the list goes on and on.
What are some of Commercial Center's most iconic landmarks?
Commercial Center's most iconic landmarks. That would have to be the Las Vegas Ice Palace, where the first rock concerts of Las Vegas happen, including the Grateful Dead, and also Santana, and so many others. There's close to at least 100 concerts that happened there from 1963 and on, or about 1964. One of the other landmarks, which is unfortunately no longer there today, would be the Vegas Village Shopping Center. It was kind of the precursor to the Walmarts of the day and the super center, and it was touted as the largest department store in Nevada and possibly in the world at the time.
Yeah, I've seen ads for that shopping center. Mm-hmm. I did my research, so it's very cool to read about. So when did you first come to the Commercial Center?
Well, I first came to Commercial Center when I was just 16 years old. I just moved to Las Vegas from Los Angeles in 1992, and we were on a school music field trip with Green Valley High School Choir. We went to Violin Outlet, Mar Lieberman's Violin Outlet. So that was my very first introduction to Commercial Center.
You were at Green Valley High School, so you lived in Vegas,
mm-hmm.
correct?
Yeah.
How often did you visit Commercial Center after you first went there?
How often did I visit Commercial Center? After my first visit on a school trip, somehow I found myself there in beauty school when I was 19 years old after high school. So I attended Roller's Institute of Cosmetology around 1996.
At the time you came to Commercial Center, what sort of businesses were there?
Did you want me to repeat all of the questions?
Yeah, okay. When I first came to...
When it comes to restating, you don't have to ask it again.
Okay.
You just naturally let it flow into your
okay.
answer.
Okay.
Yeah, so when I...
If you're having trouble thinking of something, we can help you.
Okay. Okay.
Like, when I first visited,
okay.
there were businesses like... Jackie's hair design,
mm-hmm.
Italian salsa. I'm just reading.
What okay, right, right.
I'm just reading. So when you first came to Commercial Center, what businesses were there? Or what businesses do you recall being there?
Well, I don't remember much of anything from when I was 16, just the Violin Outlet, but I know that it was very busy and full. Now, when I returned when I was 19 to go to beauty school, the shopping center was completely packed full of businesses. One of my favorite, actually, was the Psychic Eye Bookshop. They had a huge bookshop there. I think it was one of the largest in town, and they had all of the New Age and mysticism. It was a really neat place.
You got more involved in Commercial Center when you were 19. You started beauty school. After you started that, what sort of events do you recall happening at the Commercial Center?
Well, when I was in beauty school, that was all I was really focused on, and I would just go there. I went to my classes, and at the time, I actually started going out to nightclubs in Las Vegas, where, you really need to be 21 to go to bars and nightclubs, but somehow I made my way in. And before I knew it, in my early 20s, I was mostly frequenting, some of the bars and places like that, so I was hanging out. They had a lot of LGBTQ businesses back then. Well, they didn't even call them LGBTQ back then, but places like Cobalt and the Badlands Saloon, the Las Vegas Lounge. So And so I don't remember a lot of events. Most of the events that I'm familiar with now started, I remember it after 2004 when I opened my beauty salon.
Why would people visit the commercial center?
Well, why would people visit commercial center?
Why would people go there?
Because it's a special place, full of anyone that wants to support family businesses, ingenuity, innovation, amazing culinary delights, unique destinations and boutiques. It's the place to go.
Rephrase the question.
Was I moving around too much? Oh.
No, you're good. Just rephrase the question for that same thing you were saying.
Oh, okay.
Why did people frequent the commercial center? People used to frequent the commercial center because...
Oh, were we doing the history or currently?
When you first came to commercial center.
Okay.
Back when you were 19 in beauty school.
Mm-hmm.
So... why would people frequent the commercial center at that time? What was that? We can do that too. Okay. So, back in commercial center's heyday, which I understand being more of in the 60s, 70s, mm-hmm. and 80s, why would people frequent that area at that time?
Well, from the stories that were told to me and from my research, it was just the place to be. It was the hot spot. It was where Gianni Russo's State Street restaurant was. There were celebrity hangouts that Frank Sinatra and Elvis Presley, all of these big stars would be there, and you could just be eating and dining. So who wouldn't want to go to see a celebrity? And also, it was the main central part of town to do all of your shopping.
What you said earlier about the family businesses, mm-hmm. Can we just get that again?
Yeah.
Because that was great.
Okay.
So we'll just get it again with the restating the question.
Okay.
Thank you.
Family businesses.
Of why people want to go. Okay.
Yeah, so what sort of family businesses were at the... Are we talking about...
Why do people want to go? Why does it matter? Okay. So you can bring up the whole family businesses again. That was one.
Okay.
In its heyday or now?
In general,
what sort of family businesses were present at Commercial Center?
Well, Commercial Center is all family businesses. There are no corporate chains there, as far as I know. And it's been that way since 1963. So it's just been an amazing run of hundreds of wonderful and innovative small business owners that are bringing Las Vegas culinary delights, entertainment, unique boutiques and shopping. It's really a very special place, and I really see it as a very special cultivator of American ingenuity and business ingenuity for the small business owner.
Awesome. Back in Commercial Center's heyday, what role did it play for the Las Vegas community?
Well, let's see.
Remember to reiterate the question.
Back in the heyday of Commercial Center, of course, I only came along in 1992, and I opened my beauty salon in 2004, and now Commercial Center celebrated 60 years last year. But from the stories that have been told to me, I'm sorry, what was the question again?
What did Commercial Center mean for the Las Vegas community?
Sorry, that's cool.
Okay.
Is it okay if I just move a piece of hair?
Yeah, sure.
So you have like one piece that's just hanging out. There you go.
Okay, thanks. I'm sorry, I'll
move. So what did the Commercial Center mean for the Las Vegas community in its heyday?
What did Commercial Center mean? For businesses in its for the community in its heyday.
Yeah, how did the community feel about Commercial Center? What did it mean to Las Vegas?
I think that Commercial Center meant what it means today for the community. What it meant in 1963, a place for the small business owner to really showcase themselves and to be successful, to engage with the community, really be a very special place of community socializing, gathering for families, And really what we've seen over the years is several multi-generational businesses with the families involved all throughout the years.
In commercial centers heyday, do you have any knowledge of what the nightlife was like back in that time?
The nightlife at commercial center in its heyday was really quite exciting. One of the businesses was Gianni Russo's famous State Street restaurant. And I think there's an advertisement from the Yellow Pages that states something like, and on their business cards and their menus, where the elite meet and greet, or something like that. But it was about, you know, this was a place for the stars to come after their shows on the strip and to hang out and to do some after shows. So there's a lot of threads online about the community and people remembering from back in the day saying, oh, I saw this star there and I saw that star there, that they would get to be eating and dining and seeing stars, you know.
Awesome. And I have another question. So I know, right, at least at the time you came to Commercial Center, or even now, there was a big LGBTQ+ community in Commercial Center. To your knowledge, was that community present back in the 60s, 70s, back when Commercial Center was in its prime? Was there a big LGBTQ+ community in the Commercial Center?
As far as my knowledge of LGBT businesses going back to the original opening of Commercial Center, I'm sure there were some, probably some kind of fashion designer, maybe some of the jewelers or the more artistic type of businesses possibly. Not, of course, that was a different time. So the knowledge that I have about the growth of the LGBT businesses goes back, I think, more to the 80s, starting with Badlands Saloon, might be one of the longest-running gay establishments in Commercial Center. I think they go back to 1986, possibly. And then when I moved in 2004, there were at least a dozen LGBTQ businesses. Of course, back then, they were just considered like gay businesses or LGBT, actually. It was only four letters back then.
Very cool. All right, that's what I've got for Act 1.
Okay.
And if we're ready, we'll move on to Act 2.
I hope I did okay.
You did great. Act 2 is what I'm excited for.
But
Rolling.
Sound roll. Slate.
Scene 2A, take 1. Marker.
Hold the focus.
Set.
Yeah. Don't make me that old.
Alright, good to go. Alright. So, Paula, just a little bit more on Commercial Center's heyday. What are some of the most notable bands you remember that played at Commercial Center?
Notable bands at Commercial Center.
The
most notable bands at Commercial Center that I can remember from my research and stories told to me is the Grateful Dead with Santana opening, Led Zeppelin, also The Doors with Jim Morrison, and actually 60 days to the day on October 21st, 2023, when we celebrated our 60-year anniversary, that was the day that Bob Marley and the Wailers played the Las Vegas Ice Palace there at Commercial Center. Really neat piece of history.
Amazing. All right, so let's talk a little bit more about Commercial Center's presence. So I know you run Salon eHarmony. Why did you choose Commercial Center for that business? Why did you choose Commercial Center to have eHarmony yet?
Well, coming to Commercial Center with my beauty salon was actually kind of an accident. And I had a location on Maryland Parkway for about a year. Then I was on Paradise Road. And my assistant that was working with me at the time, we were looking for other locations to expand. And he said, I found this perfect place for you. I said, okay. So I go over to see the unit, and it was a little shocking at first. It was in 2004, and they were putting in new sidewalks and repaving the parking lot and new drains. So there was no sidewalk in front of the beauty salon. It was dirt. And I was like, I don't know if this is going to work. But there was actually a beauty salon there before, and it had the bones of what I needed for my business. So I thought about it, and for what I was paying for a room rental in Paradise, I could get a whole salon, like 800 and I think 66 square feet. So it was kind of a no-brainer. And then also it was a feeling of nostalgia. I went to beauty school there, and I have history there.
How would you describe the current state of affairs in Commercial Center today?
I am very excited about the current state of affairs of Commercial Center. It's been going through quite a renaissance. And, of course, the work that I've done for the past 20 years, I hope that it's made an impact and a difference. I'm very excited to see the new businesses going in, like the Composer's Room with the entertainment they have, the 60th anniversary of the Q Club, the Commercial Center's oldest, longest-running business, continuously operating, and also Balkan Bar and Grill, beautiful space, Love Hacendad. There's so many amazing restaurants. We're really a restaurant mecca. You know, they built a restaurant row on Flamingo near Paradise. I call us Restaurant Square or Restaurant Circle.
So in the last few years, I think it's clear that the Commercial Center is not quite what it used to be. I hear a lot that the center is kind of on a decline. I know it's getting better, but of course, you know, it fell into a bit of a state of disarray. What do you think were some of the reasons for Commercial Center's decline?
Well, some of the reasons for Commercial Center's decline really stem back quite a few years. It's not something that has happened most recently. It actually began in towards the late 90s and the early 2000s. And I think with urban sprawl and the development of suburbs in Las Vegas, and indoor shopping malls that were cool and nice to walk around. And there was disengagement from community-type places with an outdoor aspect like Commercial Center. And that really began a little bit of the demise of what we see in Commercial Center. But, you know, everything happens for a reason and a purpose. And what happened is, at the time, many Korean businesses began to open in there. We were really we were the original Koreatown, separate from Chinatown. And there was about 30 Korean-owned businesses when I moved in 2004, and they were, you know, bustling and busy and had lots of customers. And it was really interesting. And getting back to the decline, I think what happened is people just stopped caring in a way. And they really kind of had these blinders on. They couldn't see the, you know, outside of that. It was a little bit of a tunnel vision. And when I came in 2004, one of my friends, Steve, he says, you know, Paula, he says, you're really gifted. You're really talented. He said, you can walk into a situation and you can see everything that needs to be done. He says, you can see it like that. And I'm like, really? You think so? So for me, I guess I just saw the bigger picture. And it wasn't really that difficult to begin to fix. You know, when there's trash on the ground, you pick it up. If there's graffiti, you paint over it. And really, it's about taking pride in one's business and one's community, just like you would do at your own home. And that's the message that I wanted to bring to the community. Take pride in yourself and in your business. You know, if you're going to dress nice and look nice, well, you want your business and the surrounding community to be the same. Oh, sure.
I think you might have said 60 days instead of 60 years.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
We're just trying to fix that.
Okay, sorry.
No problem.
You want me to repeat the question?
Oh, no, you can start that story from the topic you'd like.
You can just go.
out the...
Oh, okay. And during our 60-year anniversary, which was October 21st, 2023, when we held our festival, that actually happened to be 60 years to the day that Bob Marley and the Wailers played at the Ice Palace. I didn't plan it that way. It just kind of happened that way. I think it was fortuitous and foreboding of what was to come in terms of legacy, entertainment, and the growth of the commercial center as a historic area. So that was really exciting to have that. Yeah, and they opened for Sly and the Family Stone at the time, 1973.
Going back to commercial centers present, I know you've been kind of vocal against, well, not against, but talking about how you didn't really get much support from Clark County when you were really trying to get involved with the commercial center. I know you said they only gave you five gallons of paint or something like that. So can you talk a little bit about what you feel that the city did not do or could have done to prevent commercial centers decline?
Well, I'm sorry, can you rephrase the question once again?
Just what action do you feel that Clark County could have taken to avoid commercial center being what it is now?
The history with Clark County and commercial center going back in terms of looking at any demise of commercial center and a downturn of business in the community and greater challenges to the business owners, it really goes back to the late 90s and the early 2000s. And there was this wonderful event that happened in 2004 with new sidewalks and a repaving of a re-slurry ceiling of the parking lot. But from what I understand, actually, one of the property owners had to sue Clark County at the time for these improvements. There was desperately in need of improvements. It was supposed to be taken care of. What happened was Clark County imposed a special improvement district on the area and billed the business and property owners, I believe it was $10 million for the project. And there were different projects that were coming up, one that included water features, greenery, trees, shrubs, you know, lighting to even make it more nice and inviting. But no one wanted to pay the price tag, so they scaled it way back. And also that fell upon the business owners. And I had to pay, say, $60 a month, I think it was, based on my square footage for 10 years for the improvements. And that was really, it didn't seem fair to the business owners at the time, especially we really look at Las Vegas. We're this mega entertainment capital of the world with huge revenues coming in from gaming and liquor licensing and taxation, all of these things. We've been in this upward growth. But yet here was this historic area just kind of ignored and lost and forgotten. We're like, oh, we're on to better ventures now. But when I approached the property owners and Clark County in 2004, I was first working with Myrna Williams, and I contacted her office. She sent Danny Geraldo, a liaison, to come speak with me, and I showed him the graffiti and the trash and the abandoned cars, the different things that we needed. I had a whole list. And if no one else was going to do anything about it, I decided I would. And so they gave me 5 gallons of paint and some paintbrushes. A great start. And I got a volunteer. I put out a flyer for volunteers. I found one volunteer to come and help, my friend Joan Dupree. And she came out, and we painted. We started painting the little alleyways. And I brought my golden retriever, Buddy. He helped with the renovation of Commercial Center, too. And that's how it started. So that's the kind of help that I got then, obviously very small. As the years have went by, the next commissioner was Chris G. And there wasn't a lot of effort being put into Commercial Center. And I didn't know why. I later found out that they had a whole redevelopment that they were doing. I just kind of stumbled onto the study. It was called the Blight Study. It was a 100-page study on Commercial Center. And the head of it was Lisa Coder. She was the head of redevelopment. And she was very interested in what I was doing. And she came to me and she said, would you mind sharing a list of your association members? And I was a little bit gullible at the time. I didn't know how government worked. And I thought, sure, I'm open and I'll share whatever. And I didn't realize, I think I was kind of being sized up a little bit for Maybe I was working for a competing developer. They didn't know who I was. I think they were wondering, why was I doing all the things that I was doing? They didn't understand it. And I took it upon myself to begin cleaning up the whole shopping center, from weeding to removing graffiti to removing over a dozen abandoned cars and a rebranding effort, starting a first website, the first social media pages, all of that, back in 2005. So I felt it needed some TLC and also a rebranding. And there wasn't really help coming from the county, no matter how much I reached out. The commissioner did come to two Neighborhood Business Watch meetings that I organized, and Metro was very helpful. I was working with some sergeants and lieutenants. The fire department was very helpful. There was other people on the exterior in the other departments within Clark County that were more helpful. But as direct financial help or anything like that, there was nothing really being given. And so that's, and I think that between the property owners and between Clark County, there was a lack of care. And I didn't understand how you could own millions of dollars worth of property and not want to do everything in your power to make it successful. And if it just means picking up trash or removing graffiti, having people network together, why? Why would you not want to do that? And for me, I had a huge investment there. I spent about $60,000 on a remodel after my first year, and I went from nails only in a gift shop to a full-service salon and spa. And I was told that Commercial Center could be going away, and it might be lost to eminent domain. And so I had to educate myself, and I encouraged all the business owners to. I said, you better read these documents. There's a 100-page study that doesn't make us sound very good. And I went through and I highlighted all the areas that were no longer true, everything that I had cleaned up. And I went back to the county, to Lisa Coder, and I said, you need to make a public statement that these things that you stated are not true. And she said, well, this is a standing legal document, and we stand by it. It was a big study. You know, we spent a lot of money, a couple $100,000 on a study. And I told her, I said, well, that's not the truth, though. This is not the picture of Commercial Center. And they really painted a very negative picture of our area for all of Las Vegas to see, and it really wasn't true. And so I made it my mission to tell the truth.
That's very good. I know you're currently running A Harmony Nail Salon, which is still there. It's where I tried to get in touch with you, but you weren't there. It's okay. But being a business owner in Commercial Center, what are some of the biggest challenges you face right now?
What are the biggest challenges for me personally as a business owner or as a community?
As the owner, just as the owner of the business, keeping A Harmony running, things of that sort.
Well, you know, I started my beauty salon very small. When I moved into Commercial Center, I had one little unit. I had a couple of nail stations and some beauty products, you know, in the gift shop. And I had to do it all on my own. So the biggest hindrance to business at the time, at least for me as a small business owner, would have been maybe lack of exposure, you know, because much of the businesses, all of our, you have to come into Commercial Center to see what's in there. When on the outside, there are no entrances, so it's really, you come inside. And from the outside, it wasn't too appealing at the time. It needed to be cleaned up. It needed so many things. And currently, what's really helping in terms of business is more and more businesses opening, and it's creating a synergy. And you have more customers, more exposure. Now we have social media. Actually, when I opened in 2004, there was no Facebook. There was none of that. I was in the yellow pages. And that's why I have the letter A Harmony Nail Spa. So I was at the top of the listing for salons. But there's a lot of challenges. The challenges in the area that we're facing now are very similar to many other cities. And we have the unhoused. You know, there is a high rate of alcoholism and addiction and, you know, gambling, drugs, alcohol in Las Vegas and all throughout. And we have our share of how we are addressing that need in the community, how we could be helpful, but also making it safe for our customers and for growth looking forward, because nobody wants to come to a place if they see that it's, you know, full of those kind of problems. I mean, people have compassion to a point, but also, you know, people, you know, customers are there to spend money, Employees want to feel safe. Business owners need to feel safe. And we as a community need to be responsible to find solutions for that. And we have many 12-step recovery actually available in Commercial Center. So we're doing our part to reach out. There's help available, and there's also other nonprofit services available. We're vital to the community.
I saw an interview you did with 8 News Now. It was also the interview they did with Tick Siegerboom. And he was talking about the revitalization efforts that were going to be happening. But you expressed some concerns, kind of thought they were putting the cart before the horse, so to say. Do you want to talk about some of the things you think this revitalization project should keep in mind?
Well, some of the things I think that need to be kept in mind for a revitalization project like this or any is prioritization, and public safety really is number one when we're looking at communities, whether it's residential or commercial. And in particular with Commercial Center, since we're set in 28 acres, but the surrounding properties that we're at, we're really between about 40 and 50 acres. It's a very large parcel, parcels that are together. And we're in this kind of square. And what can happen is, if there's not proper security and proper cleaning as a group effort, as a community effort, problems pile up. And a prime example is, last year during an event, there was I think it was April or May of 2023, it was a big festival being put on for Commercial Center, a block party. And it was to showcase the area. Bella Strings performed. There was another local performer. There was beautiful artwork. It was an amazing, amazing event. They did a great job. Unfortunately, a week or so, or 2 weeks before the event, and this is a word I just learned, unhoused. So I know there's homeless or unhoused. So I'm going to use the new word that I learned, unhoused. And there was a buildup of some unhoused people that was started with one, then it was two, then it was 10 or 15 or 20 within a matter of weeks. I reached out to the county. I reached out to the property owners, and there was no answer. And I thought, wow, why are we spending $250,000 or more dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars on a wonderful event, which it was needed, and not taking care of the basic safety first? That's so important. And we have some security that's provided for by voluntary contributions to our business association, and we have cleaning, but we're really limited in our resources. We just needed a little help. And when it didn't come, I was shocked. I didn't understand. The cost to remedy the situation with security and offering services that are needed, we're looking at under $2,000 probably. But yet hundreds of thousands were spent on a festival. It was truly misprioritization. So I had to handle it myself, and we had our security there. We had junk man cleaning services. We very graciously offered the people that were there, they could go into care complex downtown on Four Master Lane. There was a Salvation Army, many, many services available. They declined. They didn't want it, so we had to clean it up. We had it cleaned up in just a few days in time for thousands of people to come and view Commercial Center. If those thousands of people would have come by and seen that, they wouldn't have wanted to return. And it's just not fair to us as a business community. It wasn't safe for the business owners, and it wasn't safe for the customers. And we didn't get the needed help at the time, and it's been quite a struggle. Now there does seem to be a little turn in the tide of help, and I think that's because Clark County has become a key player in Commercial Center. They now own property there, so, you know, their eyes are on the property more.
Can you hold on for a moment? Can I read it? Oh, you wrote it?
Oh, good. I hope that was good.
That was great.
Okay.
Oh, wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
You really are.
That was fantastic. We've got a little bit more time.
Okay.
So, you good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, I'm only one of maybe two transgender business owners at Commercial Center as well.
Really?
Yeah.
That's very interesting. What mm-hmm. Just bouncing off of what you said about prioritization mm-hmm. and the need for that, what do you hope to see most from this, from the county's revitalization efforts?
What I hope to see most from Clark County's revitalization efforts is a true partnership with the community, with the business owners, with the residents nearby, with the property owners, and to really have an understanding of what the basic needs are, making sure those are met, safety and security, number one priority. All of these other wonderful things like concerts and festivals and moving forward, that all is a natural evolution of taking care of the basics first. Also, just by keeping the area clean and safe, that creates immediate curb appeal. It creates immediate recognition within the community that this is a safe place to go, and this is okay for, you know, your children and your family, and it's a wonderful place to open a business with a great rental prices. But that cannot be achieved without really having a meeting of the minds and making sure that all voices are being heard, that everyone is at the table, everyone has an equal voice, and that action is being taken on the basics first. Then we can move forward with all these other wonderful projects.
Very cool. I want to touch on something you said before, this issue of eminent domain. Do you want to explain what that is and if you still feel that's an issue?
Well, eminent domain was a big concern for... Eminent domain is basically where the government can come in and take your home or your business and say, thank you very much. Here is the market value for your property. We're now putting in a road or a freeway, and you have to go now. And that's it. And you lose your family home. You lose your family business, whatever it is. It doesn't really matter because it's considered for the good of the public. I don't fully agree with eminent domain. I don't think people should have their businesses and homes ripped away from them like that. But I also see how there are certain situations where it may be beneficial, maybe an abandoned property or something that is a hazard to the community. But we have in Vegas, you know, the feeling is, you know, basically just implode it and tear it down and we're going to build new. That was a big threat in 2009. Now, I don't know. They haven't really talked about it, but from what I understand, a redevelopment agency has special powers of eminent domain. Now, Clark County is a board of commissioners. They can't do it on their own. It's only through a redevelopment agency. So there is a concern. It could happen. And the question is, if it's used, if that power is needed to be used, is it going to be used ethically, morally, in the right ways to help the community? Or is it going to be used to really further more of a private venture, not for the good of the public, not for the good of, and when we're talking about the public, we're talking about all 150 to 200 business owners that are there and the hundreds of employees. It makes a difference. So the community needs to be aware. And, you know, that's where letters come in, contact you, the governors or the commissioners, and really be a part of that active process. And if a decision's made that doesn't look like it's going to be good for the community, people need to speak out.
So I know you just spoke about eminent domain. Mm-hmm. Do you have any concerns about this revitalization project pushing out small businesses or it becoming really just more of a gentrification project than a revitalization?
I think there is a big concern, and my thought on eminent...
With
eminent domain and...
My
biggest concern with eminent domain is not treating the small business owners, the family business owners, fairly and equitably. And I'm not opposed to redevelopment, but what I'm opposed to is abusive redevelopment and abusive eminent domain, where there's this look of wanting to, you know, proposing to do something for the good of the public and the community when really private interests are being met. And we do have some very wealthy developers and property owners that are within and around the area, billionaires, and, you know, who wanted to build high rises and different things. Now, there's nothing wrong with any of those projects. It could be quite beneficial to the community. But where do we as small business owners fit in Las Vegas? I truly see Commercial Center as a mecca and a haven for the small business owner and, you know, to live the American dream, to be, you know, all you can be, truly, and to use your ingenuity to serve the community. If there's a favor towards corporate chain stores and things like that and corporate businesses, then the small business owner goes away. Where would you put 150 business owners in Las Vegas? Where would we do our thing, our magic that we're doing and what we're providing? I really see Commercial Center in the long-term vision. I hope that it stays true to what it was in 1963 and now 60 years later, that we are a place for small business owners, for the family business owner. It is truly family. And it's everything from churches and music schools and children's services to something, you know, for everyone, all the way up to the over 18 and over 21 adult establishments as well. It's kind of a little microcosm of our whole country and the world even. It's really quite, there's nothing quite like it.
Just one more question. How big of an impact do you think the pandemic had on Commercial Center State right now?
The impact that the pandemic had and the coronavirus and pandemic, actually, we fared better during that time than we did during the recession, the Great Recession. During the Great Recession, we had about 200 open businesses. Within a few months, we were down to 50% occupancy, and we didn't even have any big box stores to worry about being shuttered that was going to cause hundreds of, you know, layoffs or anything. These were all the small businesses. Everyone connected at the time to real estate and everything with that. It all just went away very quickly. And it took us years to recover to bring back some of those businesses. During the pandemic, we were closed for, most of our businesses were only closed for 2 months, 2.5 months. We reopened. People wanted our services. The ones that suffered the most were the bars and the nightclubs. They had a longer wait. It was much more difficult for them. But we actually fared better. During the pandemic, at least 20 or 30 new businesses during that two-year period actually opened in Commercial Center. That is amazing. That's like, really? Wow.
Wow. I think that really speaks to the spirit of Commercial Center and its resilience. Mm-hmm. That is what I've got. I mean, I could go on for hours, but
okay.
I know we're on a time crunch here. Is there... Oh, that's for something else. Is there anything else you want the audience to know?
Well, how would you like me to phrase that?
Just anything you want to put out there.
Okay. Well, yeah, I do have some final thoughts for you, Kai. My thoughts on Commercial Center is, one, I represent a very small minority of the community. I happen to be transgendered. I don't let that interfere or get in the way of me doing business or how I interact with others. Most people don't know, which, you know, that's fine. That's great. I don't wear like a T for, you know, on my blouse. But being from that community, I'd like to see the influx of more diversity within Commercial Center, more LGBTQ+ businesses. For myself, not only as a transgender business owner, but a transgendered woman business owner, you wouldn't think that in 2004 there would still be kind of sexism and those kind of things, but in the commercial world of commercial business and real estate, mostly it's a man's world still. And women, it's very hard for women in business in that area to kind of break in and actually be recognized as having valuable input and a voice. And I've mostly had to deal with men, in business these past 20-plus years at Commercial Center. And let me tell you, it has been uphill all the way. But I don't take no for an answer. And sometimes you have to show them who wears the pants. And so it does make it harder in business that way. And I just hope that everyone can learn to work together with all the different diversities that we have, really have a feeling of inclusivity within Commercial Center, within the neighborhood, coming not only from our local government supporting that vision, but also from our highly diverse mix of business owners and property owners. We really have a representation of almost the whole world at Commercial Center. It is quite amazing, from Korean and Filipino and Jewish and Italian, LGBTQ, Persian, Mediterranean, Nigerian. It just goes on and on. And if we work together with that vision in mind, we can do anything, and we can turn Commercial Center, which has its share of problems and has had to deal with the looking at obsolescence at some point. You know, is it obsolete? You know, what is the vision of the future? And if we look at the vision that the very first open-air shopping center in our country, which was, I believe, the Country Club. There was the first modern mall, and then there was the outdoor mall back in the late 1800s, early 1900s. There is now a time where people want to have fresh air. They want to be outdoors. Now, I know in the summer it's not the greatest in Las Vegas, but we have, you know, three other seasons, which are wonderful. But some people love the sun. They don't mind the heat. And, you know, let's just look at the vision of the future and preserve a very important piece of Las Vegas history. We have the founding families, many founding families and business there. Now, look at the makeup of what's there now. I think that the founders of Commercial Center would be very proud of what they see now. They'd be sad at what's happened in the deterioration, but that's all fixable. So let's fix it, let's move on, and let's be a success.
Excellent. That's
what I've got. Oh, thanks. Thank you. Thank you, you guys are great.
Thank you. Oh.